I'm not your enemy.
What, I'm supposed to believe you're a friend?
I didn't say that either. I hate locks.
So you save people?
On good days.
And why don't you carry any weapons?
I am the weapon.
Batman's little girl is all grown up. She's running on the streets and beating people up. They were on TV, but they didn't stay. So let's talk now about Birds of Prey.
Welcome back to Broken Wings, the unofficial Birds of Prey commentary podcast. My name is Matt Truex, and wow, it's been a while since I've said that, but I'm coming back with a big one here. So really excited to be back. I've had the pleasure of talking to today's guest several times now. I've always found her to be just kind, engaging, incredibly generous with her time, an all-around wonderful person, but she really went above and beyond recently when she took the time out of her evening to sit down and talk with me about her experiences on Birds of Prey. Very briefly, before we get into that, just wanted to let you in on a few things we mentioned in the interview. We talk about Reunion, which took place at the Hollywood Show Convention just this April, where all three of the Birds of Prey were together once again to sign autographs, probably for the first time since 2002 when they were promoting the show. So it was just really cool to see. Clearly, I was there all day. But there are so many other fans there, too, and it's just awesome to see, like, all three of them have lines for autographs all day long. She also mentions a Batarang that I gave her, but that's pretty self-explanatory. I made replica Batarangs or Birdarangs, whatever you like, from the show and gave them to all three of the girls. Some might call that a bribe. Others might call that a thank you for over a decade of entertainment from the show now. But I don't know who started it, either Ashley or Rachel. One of the girls asked the other girls to sign theirs, and now all three of them have signed Batarang replicas in their houses, which is just totally awesome, truth be told. The long and short of it, though, was I was beyond thrilled to sit down and talk with our guest and cannot thank her enough for taking the time to talk with me, especially when she was so very busy being so very pregnant at the time. But, you know, they say never meet your heroes, which is probably true, unless, of course, your hero is Ashley Scott. Now on with the show.
Okay, Ashley?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
So we tried. We're pretending that we haven't had technical difficulties.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm sorry, I'm having another episode.
They're great.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know you're professional until you have them, right?
See, that's part of life, right? I mean, you wouldn't do life without them.
Oh, it's so good that you're that type of guest. Thank you.
Of course. It's like to be doing this with you. It's been too long.
It has. It's since the reunion, really. Okay. Before we get any further, if we had technical difficulties, I bet it would have started when I cut you off and you were talking about how good Unreal was, which I just binge-watched and was afraid of because Lifetime, and I'm a guy, admittedly a guy who likes Birds of Prey, but still I'm a guy, and Lifetime scared me away. I got through the entire series in 3 days, which sounds like it's 7 episodes, but still, it was awesome. Yeah.
It is fantastic. We're all super proud of it. But it's basically a show within a show. It's a scripted drama about reality television, and it kind of shines a light on the darkness of reality television and the truth behind it. So for me, it was really exciting as an actor to play a character like Mary that unfortunately
yeah, spoilers is not something I ever have to deal with on this show, but spoilers to anyone, but continue.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, you know, without getting into it, it's producers tend to, I guess, target, you know, people that will make good television. So they target the crazy, or that's obviously a light. But they target people that are not necessarily completely stable. And unfortunately, then when the show's over, they kind of release them to the back into the world after they've edited their life is in such a way that it's sometimes difficult for people to get back to their own lives or, you know, maintain a healthy life. And unfortunately, I think the suicide rate for reality television is 3 times higher than our, you know, than our society.
It's really
frightening. Yeah, I was doing some research. It's pretty alarming.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you did any. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, I was going to say it's not that. You know, I don't think the shows push people to commit suicide. But you know, I think that they're targeting people that might not be the strongest.
And obviously your character was definitely one of those people already, but it's really interesting to see, you know, the seemingly normal people get twisted into these terrible situations, and you start thinking about the reality shows you've seen, and you go, oh yeah, that probably happened, you know.
It's true that they actually have a psychologist on site, and then the psychologist interviews these people.
Really, just to find weaknesses?
A wealth of knowledge. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that gross?
That's terrifying.
So I feel pretty excited, and I was really blessed to have the responsibility to be able to tell Mary's story, because I hope that our society watches it and decides that that's not really what they want to, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I'm kind of hoping we've raised the bar.
Well, yeah, I saw an article of I forget where it was, but it has Unreal killed reality television, and I'm like, I can see why it might for a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean,
yeah, really.
I mean, reality. I just said this in an interview, and it's my kind of positive twist on why I think reality kind of exploded the way it did, and I think it's in a very positive, cool kind of collective consciousness, like kind of a neat way that humanity really hungers for connection. And, you know, the days of us leaving our front doors open and people coming in and, you know, our neighbors just kind of walking in and having coffee and gossiping and, you know, that small town kind of vibe where our kids could run freely in the streets until the streetlights came on. And, you know, we had that. We don't have that anymore. We're a little bit more guarded. We don't, you know, our doors aren't open to our neighbors. And so I think we became these kind of voyeurs watching reality television, because we could connect, or we could say we're not as bad as them, or we could say, you know, we're just with our 9 kids, at least we don't have 22, you know,
right?
Or I don't hate my husband
as much as her.
But it's, you know, it's kind of neat that, you know, humanity, we just want to connect, and I think that's kind of why the pendulum, you know,
swung to that.
Long that way, but
yeah.
But you know, I think it's important that the networks are responsible. Try to be responsible.
It certainly shows a world where they're not, which makes for 7 episodes of really great television. So I'm glad you're thrilled about it, because it was a surprising treat.
Yes, for me as an actor, to be able to read it too, and then get the part and be able to explore it and have fun with it. And, you know, bipolar disorder, there's someone that was very close in our family that struggled with bipolar. And so for me to be able to kind of tackle that issue as well and try to balance it as delicately as I could, because it is such a delicate balance, it was really fun. I'm super proud of it, and I'm super excited that people are responding.
Yeah, you should be, and yeah, no spoilers, but your big episode was fantastic. So
brutal. Just,
yeah, real. Well, yeah, brutal is
brutal
in every way.
Yeah, but it was up and down and all around and truthful. You know, I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. I'm glad that you watched it. I'm glad that you trusted me to watch it.
I did. So am I. Okay. So. Unreal was the latest project. Let's turn back time, if you will, if you'll come with me now, to the Birds of Prey days. Yeah, really, in the Wayback Machine here. So I know, you were coming off. You had done AI. You had done Dark Angel. Where were you in your career when you first heard about the show or started getting connected with the show, I guess?
It was all very new. I mean, I was modeling and living in France mm-hmm. when I had a moment, really. I remember listening to, like, Alan Jackson in my Walkman, you know, in Sevilla, Spain, and I'm looking at this girl, and she's modeling, you know, standing there in front of a camera and mm-hmm. doing this catalog modeling, and I remember just having this kind of awakening and going, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm a clothes hanger. I'm done with this. And I was grateful for the experience. Oh yeah. I mean, I loved modeling. Was wonderful for me. I got to travel and you know, just get out of South Carolina and start to explore the world.
I hear
you know,
it in your voice.
Where
yeah.
I grew up was amazing, but it was just a great experience for me. And I really encourage young women to go out and travel, young girls, you know, and young mm-hmm. men too, but just get out and see the world. And I made money and I was able to kind of explore. But then I was finished. And I remember having like this kind of, we call it in the South, a come to Jesus meeting where you're like, all right, Lord, you know, what's next? And you know, I just said, I'm really ready for something. I don't know what that something is. And, I don't know what it looks like. I don't really want to go work at McDonald's. And I dropped out of high school. So I really didn't know what my path was.
Yeah, after France, you can't go to the dollar menu. So that's not.
Yeah, I was like, you know, after like traveling the world, living in France and Paris, and, you know, I really couldn't go back to you know the McDonald's down at the end of the street. And so anyway, I ended up taking a job like a week later in Phoenix, and then flew to L.A. to visit a friend. I'd never been to L.A. before, and. When I was here, my modeling agent called me and said, you know, you should go in. They're reading models for this part, this Al Pacino film. And I thought, well, okay. You know, it's sometimes you're ready for an opportunity, which I was. I was ready for something, a sign of some of where I was going next. And even though it scared the living shit out of me, it was... Mm-hmm. I knew that it was the door. I knew that it was, you know what I mean? I knew that was
right.
my door. And so I studied and went in and auditioned, and they called me back three times, and I got to stay an extra week and ended up doing a table read with Al Pacino, which
oh, wow.
for anyone else, you would have been terrified because it's Al Pacino, but I didn't care. I'm dyslexic, and I was just scared to read a script in front of someone. Faster.
you're like Al Pacino's here. I've got bigger problems going on right now.
I can care less. Yeah, I really. Yeah. Thankfully, I was just like, I have to read what in front of who? Oh God! Like, I was a mess. And the director called me the next day and he said, "Look, we're not going to give it to you. We're going to give it to someone else, another girl that is more physically the ultimate woman, I guess." And he ended up marrying her. The movie.
Ah,
was called
okay.
Yeah, and he, but that was okay with me because I had modeled for so long. I didn't want to be chosen for my physicality. I wanted to be chosen for something else, you know.
Sure, of course.
More, and he said, "I think you're really good at this, and I think that you should, you know, you should go meet with this agency." And he got me in a, you know, this meeting at Endeavor, which was the fanciest agency in town, and
mm-hmm.
and I walked in, and anyway, I ended up signing with them. They sent my tape to Spielberg for AI, so that's how I booked that. And then before
and the rest
AI
was history
came
there.
Out, yeah, before AI came out, because it was a sealed, you know, script. No one knew
sure.
how big my part was.
Right.
They sent, I guess, my tape to or Dark Angel, so I did a season of Dark Angel, which was like, so exciting and
awesome.
Really learned on the job. And then Birds of Prey came right after that.
Oh, that's
thankfully.
Crazy.
And so I
yeah.
really learned, I mean, I learned a lot when I was doing Dark Angel, but but really Birds of Prey, because I was given this opportunity. I was number one on the call sheet, and it was a huge responsibility. I didn't have a clue of really what I was doing acting-wise. I just kind of... it was very Helena Kyle, really.
Yeah.
Ballsy and out there just, you know, trying to do the best I could and figuring it out. And it was a great fit for me. I really loved her story, and I love the fight sequences. And, you know, I'm athletic, and I enjoyed that part of, you know.
That part of the physicality of it.
The challenge. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great.
Yeah. Well, that's funny that you say, like, you felt like you had nothing going on, because, I mean, like, I wanted to ask if there was some sort of learning curve you went through playing Helena, because it really, from a viewer's standpoint, at least, I've seen this show a lot. From the pilot, you're her. Like, you're, you know, she's brash, she's full of herself, but she's got that sensitive side, like, it's a constant through line from the pilot, but did you feel yourself changing the way you played her as the show went on, or?
That's a good question. I mean, I think she started to mature a tad, but the more I started to kind of, I was really happy with the way that I played her. I felt like it was consistent. But I think there was a bit of confidence that was gained in her as a woman.
Oh, fair enough, just as a character.
As a character. And even though it was, what, 13 episodes or something, it wasn't even, was it? How many episodes did we do?
It was 13. Yeah. 13 plus I guess you guys did the pilot, or some of the pilot twice.
Gosh, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You know, that show, if you think about it, only 13 episodes, and how many people just loved it.
I know.
Crazy,
yeah, it's and so ahead of its time too, because like you look at
Gotham?
The WB is now. You look at Gotham, yeah, or like you know, Arrow and Flash and all this stuff.
Oh yeah, it's definitely ahead of its time.
Yeah, no one would bat an eye if it was on the air now. You know, it'd just be another one that they were promoting at Comic-Con this weekend. You know,
that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to ask, you said, you know, that there was confidence in the character. Were there any influences you felt that you brought to Helena? Because, like, as a Batman fan, watching it as a kid, I just instantly thought back to Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, and it felt completely natural that that's what her kid would be like.
That's who I always
really?
Had in mind.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, like, that to me was, that was it.
Yeah.
I think Michelle Pfeiffer played her so beautifully. And, you know, I think that that's where I found my strength. I mean, I remember when we were shooting the opening scene, that was my go-to. That was my, you know, mental image was her.
That's
when
awesome.
She was, you know, when they had her, you know, when they killed her. It was really, I really connect with her. And she's a stunning woman, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I saw her
at
the Hairspray premiere, and I almost had a heart attack. I was in the elevator with her, and I literally was like, I was like a drooling fan. I didn't even tell her, like, our connection. I just really, I was a mess.
Oh,
not cool.
That's awesome. Oh, you did my geek heart. Good to hear that.
Yeah,
Michelle Pfeiffer
really,
was in your head.
Oh, I was a mess. Yeah, totally. No, it's, well, of course, she's in everybody's head.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right? I mean, let's be honest, it's Michelle Pfeiffer. You don't have a beating heart if she's not in your head.
Yeah, good point. So before Michelle Pfeiffer gets into your head, when you're auditioning for the show, is it a bunch of auditions? I'd imagined it with have to be, but are you auditioning alone, or do you wind up reading with Rachel or Dina at some point? I mean,
it was actually sort of, I'm glad you asked me this, because it was an interesting process, because I was blonde, and I remember I went in, they had me come back again, and I knew I was doing, I connected with the character, and it's something, it's funny when you're an actor, like you kind of know when it fits. And and I knew it fit. But there was one person over at WB, some you know, higher up, that didn't think I was tough enough. And so I remember going in, and my agent was like, look, this woman there doesn't think that you're just hard enough. And so when I went in, and actually Krista Allen was testing against Dina Meyer.
Really?
And I met with Krista at her house the night before, and we rehearsed together, which was really cool. And we're still friends. She's awesome. But at the time, I went in, and I remember thinking, how am I going to get this part? I got to get this part. I just love this, you know, character. Right. And I walked in, and I was so nervous because when you test for a show, you test with like kind of almost a theater of a bunch of execs, of studio execs. So they're not the most creative people in the world either, and they're sitting there with their notepads and their cell phones, and they're watching you and critiquing you, and you're kind of on stage in front of them.
Huh. And you're keeping, and I imagine you're keeping them from their golf game or their dinner or whatever it is.
Or they're just, you know, maybe they're interested. I'm sure they're excited about their shows that they're doing, but it's still just very intimidating. It's very intimidating.
It sounds like.
And and you also have, you know, maybe another actor or two out in the waiting room that are also up for the same job. So
right.
it's really, it's very, it's not my most favorite part of the process, but it's a very important one.
Sure.
So anyway, I remember walking in and I thought, oh, okay, who's, you know, how am I going to do it? And I thought maybe I should dye my hair black or wear a wig or something. And, but I ended up going in, and I started the audition, and the woman that I think it was, and I'm not even sure if I picked the right woman in the room, looked at her phone, and I stopped my audition, and I hollered at her. I just kind of ripped her one. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm here doing this, that, you know, I can't remember exactly.
Wow.
But it was out of character for me.
Right.
Okay. And it was purposeful, you know. And anyway, she looked up, and I scared her. I mean, I was really in her face, and I scared her enough to where I think I showed them that I could be harder than they thought.
Oh.
And I ended up getting the job that
day. And you bullied your way into the job. That's awesome.
I bullied my way right in. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so cool. What a great audition story. That's killer.
But it was ballsy, and that's, you know, that's how it was ballsy. It was just like, get out there and take it.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's super cool. So you got the job, you're prepping for the job. Like, at that point, cause you might not know this about me, I've never starred in a TV show. So I'm curious about all of it. Sorry, I should have told you that
never
earlier.
It's too late.
Yeah, amen.
If I was still around, I'd get you on Unreal.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Just like the AD in the back who always trips, you know, that's fine.
No, I used to be the next suitor.
Oh, there you go. Now you're talking.
I have high expectations for you. You just go walk right in, take it.
We'll talk about this after recording, just so not to
fly
up. As the show is forming, the network's figuring out what it wants the show to be. Are you involved with, the look of Helena or the costume? Are you fight training? Like what is the prep time during or before the pilot?
I want to say about a month before, I started taking Taekwondo classes. And fight, you know, doing fight training and stuff with Hiro Koda was our, that's going back.
Yes.
He was our stunt coordinator, who was amazing, and he had a great team. And we met, probably every day for 3 weeks. And I trained, and I was training in the gym and boxing and doing Taekwondo and also just kind of learning the fight sequences. And I really turned me on. I loved it. It was so much fun. And And so I was doing that, and then, of course, the sittings, and then going, you know, dark. I had to dye my hair dark and going in, getting all of those things approved. And, yeah, it all came together really well. I mean, you know, we all worked really hard, and I think it showed. I love the costumes. And, I mean, even though the costume from the pilot obviously changed.
Yeah, it went to more... more Matrix real quick, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And how did that make you guys feel as viewers?
I don't know why I felt I knew this, because I was young at the time and had only seen so many shows go from pilot to series. I figured there would be a change. Like, when it came back and you were in a more toned-down outfit and, like, the clock tower all of a sudden had been painted or interior decorated, you know, like it felt like, okay, that's to be expected. Now we'll go on from here, you know?
Okay. All right. Good. I think that the initial costume was a very, very, very tight corset. In fact, the first thing that we shot was the scene, with Shamar when I jump out the window.
Really?
And that was, like, the first step on the call sheet.
Wow.
And I remember I was, like, you know, nervous, or not nervous, mm-hmm. but just, you know, it was a big responsibility, and it was the first day, and, you know, and it was a big scene. And I remember the corset was very tight. So it was feeling, I couldn't really breathe.
Wow.
But, yeah, I remember being like, oh, my gosh, I need to get out of this thing for a second. But, yeah, but then they ended up changing it. But it was still, they were still corsets throughout the whole
yeah.
thing. It just wasn't quite as cinched, I think.
Right. Yeah, it must have been hard to fight in that, too. They must have seen, you know, the practicality of that and made
exactly.
their
adjustments. Exactly, yeah. It wasn't, I don't even think I said anything to anyone, but I was really glad that it changed.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so this is the most specific I will get, and I realize this is over 10 years ago we're talking about. I have seen that image of you on the gargoyle probably as much as you have. Like, do you remember the day when you're shooting, like, that picture or all the promos that they're going to use everywhere? Is it exciting? Is it what is that like, knowing that, like, you're going to shoot today the picture that will be the face of this show from now on?
Yeah, no, I went in to it's called a gallery shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in to do that, they had this great set, you know, for Birds of Prey. And what they do is they shoot all the shows that are coming up that, whenever fall.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever. And so there's different actors there from different shows, but our set was the coolest. And really. And yeah, I remember standing up there taking the photograph and feeling really good, you know, feeling
yeah.
really confident. And man, I mean, the posters were incredible. I mean, they were billboards.
I know. It was awesome.
And I believe that, what was the movie that they did that basically kind of...
Underworld.
Underworld. I was like,
yep.
Seriously, guys? Like, that's
yep.
our poster. What are you doing? Come up with your own gag.
I remember Entertainment Weekly or something did a piece on it, too, and I was just, like, so excited to see that poster back in, you know, like, that was, like, the next year, and I'm like, oh, look, they noticed it, too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy, but I guess it's flattery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. I love that poster. I have one framed.
Okay, you know, three people signed mine. It just ruined the whole thing. I don't know. It's crazy.
So glad you have that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so
nervous some
all
people.
Get together.
Right? Yeah, that's
great.
Did
we all get together? That was so much fun.
That was like, I mean, when the show was canceled, did you ever think that was going to happen? You know, so many years down the road, that you'd be signing with the two of them again.
I guess so. I guess you think, I mean, you know, because of the success of the show in regards to how people were affected by it and how many
mm-hmm.
people love it and support it still, I mean, you know, that's what it kind of took me back when we were talking. I kind of forgot that it was just 13 episodes because when I go places, people really respond to that show. And, you know, so I guess I would have hoped to have gotten together all, you know, all those years later. And we shared something really special. And they're both great girls. And, you know, it was really nice to see them and kind of reminisce a little bit. And you know, nothing can change. We were all just a little older.
Sure.
I got to tell you, we all look better than ever.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, like,
they're not looking too bad, those gals. You know what I mean?
It's like, not like one of those things where they do a reunion and you go, oh, no. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you guys are
doing great. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was nice. We, you know, it was just really nice to kind of reminisce and share stories. And I mean, I hadn't seen Rachel since she was 16.
Oh, that's crazy.
Years old, so
yeah, I forgot she was that young
woman.
When she was doing it.
She was little. She was in high school.
That's,
you know,
nuts.
So.
That's crazy in and of itself, you know?
Exactly.
Cool.
Have you interviewed her, by the way?
I haven't, no. We talked about it briefly at the thing. She's game for it. But I think it's just a matter of figuring out time to do
today.
It, I hope.
Oh,
really?
So maybe, yeah, I'll bring it up with her that we did this tonight. That'd be great.
That couldn't hurt. That'd be awesome.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
Of course.
As you're doing the show, as things are going on and you know, the world is building basically around you and the other two girls, was there anything story-wise that you really wanted to see Helena go through, or any stories you were hoping you'd get to or play with?
You know what, they don't really give you, I mean, I hate to say this, but they don't really, we get scripts, you know, the week before we're shooting. So there wasn't anything that was kind of dangling in the future that I knew about that was a disappointment that we didn't get to. You know?
Right, especially camping so early, I'd imagine.
Exactly. It was kind of, you know, we were just kind of just, gosh, it was like such a whirlwind. I mean, I was just so disappointed that the show got taken off the air. And you know what? I remember we didn't have terrible numbers either. I'm not quite sure why.
No, you didn't. I think they were just afraid of like the number drop off, but I mean, it was nothing, to fans, at least at the time, it was nothing that you hadn't seen with a bunch of other shows. You know, the pilot's always going to be the highest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is that it takes a minute. It takes a minute to build, and it takes, you know, word of mouth. And, you know, you have to nurture a child. Right?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, but you know, it's like anything mm-hmm. or a plant you're sprouting, you know, you have to nurture it.
Yeah.
But it was what it was. That's all right.
Yeah, unfortunately it was. You said first on the call sheet, so obviously you're incredibly busy during this time. What is a typical day for you? I mean, you're in almost every scene of most episodes.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. It was, but it was great. I mean, no complaints. We did a lot of night work. We'd start on Monday in the mornings, so we'd come in at say 6, and leave at 7, and then the next day you come in at 8 and leave at 9 at night. You know, so we're 12-hour mm-hmm. shifts basically. And then by Friday, we were driving home at Saturday morning.
Wow.
You know, at seven in the morning.
After shooting.
after shooting. And so, you know, that was my life. And so, I'd be out on the porch drinking a Bud Light at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday morning. I'm sure my neighbors were like, what the hell? But that was my evening, you know.
Right.
What in the world? But, yeah, it was incredible. It was so much fun, and, you know, we were also excited to be working, and we were all pumped about the story, and it was a great time in life. That's for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, honestly, it's great to hear it in your voice. It sounds like it was a good time.
But that's why it turned out so well. That's why people connected.
Yeah,
it's like Unreal or like Jericho, for instance. You know, when mm-hmm. when you're doing something that is real, that you connect with other actors that also connect, that, you know, and the story clicks and it all feels right, then it will be successful. It may not last more than 13, but it will resonate with people. You know what I mean? And that's success. That's all I can ask for. It's all about the human connection, like what we were talking about earlier. You know, it's all about...
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's really the drive of what we all do it for. I mean, the money isn't so shabby either.
Right? Yeah, that doesn't hurt, I'd imagine.
I'm kidding. But yeah, it's really, you know, it's when it's all right, it's a success. So
now I've heard from other people that I've talked to and some people I've interviewed on the show, there was some problems with I guess the management or producers behind the scene that the network didn't feel like there was a real showrunner or vision holder going on. Was that something that you felt? Did pressure fall onto you guys then to kind of quarterback the show in a way? Or
No, not at all. In fact, I'm surprised to have heard that. I mean, what did I know at that point, you know, about how things were run either? So, I mean, I don't know if I'm the best person to ask, but Lita,
right.
I'm not going to get...
Caligridis?
I'm not going to get... Yes. Okay. Yes, I got it right. It's been many years. She really fought her ass off to keep it dark and to keep it gritty and and not WB bubblegum. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
keep the Batman of it there.
Yeah, she's the Batman, and she, you know, she really. I remember her. She was challenged, and it was a real fight for her to keep it is the way that she wanted it. But I think she held true. We had a producer named Michael Cattleman that was on that was really our kind of day-to-day producer that I adore, and he didn't let us know. Well, we'd never felt any pressure or felt like things were going awry. I mean, I remember it being just a complete surprise that we were getting canceled.
Yeah, that was another question I had. Like, where were you? I mean, were you home? Were you guys on set and the word comes down, or?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I clearly blocked
again,
out.
I apologize for these.
Because of the pain and
yeah.
Shame of it all. No, I don't remember. I really don't remember. I'm surprised. Because I was obviously quite devoted.
Yeah, obviously.
But, yeah,
it was
I don't know.
Okay, no problem at all.
Must have blocked that out.
Understood. After the news comes down, and obviously, you know, everyone is super excited. It must be a blow, like you're saying, enough to block it out. When you're doing the last episodes, knowing that these are, you know, the end, are you in a mode where, like, you know, you're savoring every moment, or is it senioritis? Is it just like, let's just get through this and then we're out?
No. I think we were savoring. I mean, it's, you know, when you're doing something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever want to say goodbye to something that you love. And unfortunately, I mean, listen, this relationship has continued. We're sitting here all these years later.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I gained an incredible fan, Landy, who is, like, you know, just so supportive. And from that time, like, you know, people that have just really dedicated themselves. So I think that we all kind of savor it. I don't think anybody, I can only speak for myself. I was very sad, you know, to walk away from it. And actually, we're talking about it, I think we shot the last episode, the finale, you know, they rewrote it to make it a little bigger because we were canceled. So we must have known.
Yeah, I've heard that. One of the producers, Hans Tobias, or something, Sebison, I think.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Yeah,
he gave an interview a while ago that that they had enough that at least like the last two episodes, the Clayface one and then the big, you know, Harley showdown, they knew that they could work it into some sort of a finale, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because we were aware of it. Speaking of Harley Quinn, Sarah, what an amazing woman.
Oh,
where
so
is
good.
She? Where is Mia Sarah?
I know she's married now. She's got Henson money. She can just hang out. She's good.
No, she's a great actress.
I know she was so good as Harley Quinn.
She's amazing. I love working with her. She was, you know, she was a real woman. She came to set and she was just like such a pro and, just, you know, I really looked up to her. You know, I really like enjoyed working with her and learned a lot from her. She was such a pro and just dynamite. I'd love to see her again.
That's awesome. Yeah, and she that's something, you know, thankfully they were able to pay off with even from the pilot. She's toying with you from the start, and then, you know,
we set
the big epic fight scene, which was like, oh my god, I remember sitting there watching it and being like, oh, they did it, you know, like, this is all right.
Oh,
it's like a movie now.
Oh my god.
I mean, obviously, I mean, we're sitting here talking about it. I like
so this. It makes me so happy.
cheesy as hell question. Yeah, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit. What is there a favorite episode? Is there a favorite time or a favorite scene that you remember doing, or was it working with Mia, or anything from production or the show in general that really stand out to you? And again, so sorry for the specific questions.
No. I was just going to say it's the opposite. I actually have like a stream of memories.
Really?
That was an incredible time. I'll never forget like one of the first, and you'll probably know better than I would, but the water guy was one of the characters.
Yeah, the second episode.
The second episode. Okay, so it was like, you know, we had basically the pilot, we had rehearsed it a million times. We'd all auditioned our big scenes, you know. It was like we knew it. And then
you've been reading that thing from the start, yeah.
Yeah, from the start. And so it was, you know. And so then the second episode came, and we're in production, and it was the show. And it was the first time I had to work with CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically in front of this whole crew and in front of Shamar and everything, I have to fake like I'm drowning from water that's shooting up into my mouth from a pool that isn't there. So I'm like, you know, I mean, how do you do that?
Right, yeah.
Even if I had taken acting classes, how do you do that? So I'm,
oh my god, trial by
going,
fire,
oh my,
that's terrifying.
But yeah, of course it's terrifying. And I thought, oh my gosh, I got to pull this off. I'm, you know, I got to pull this off and make it look real. So I was like trying to drown with nothing out of a pool. It was really something else. And then
relatively,
you know,
dry, and you're fine.
Totally dry. I mean, it was, you know, I think they splashed some water on my shirt and then, and then CGI'd the rest. And anyway, so yeah, that was like just really kind of, again, total balls to the wall, like, all right, let's
here we go.
Here we go. And so like that happened, and then of course like then the scene in the sauna with Shamar, which was like
course.
A total switch, you know, which was you know, now I've got my bra in front of the crew, so there
I think
we go.
They used in like every promo for the show after that. It's just like
as they should have, as
we've got them both half naked, we're getting our money's worth out of this. Yeah.
Damn right. Good for them. exactly. If I could play that footage before I walked into every room, I would.
Yep, there you go.
I'd do the exact same thing. But, yeah, so like that, and then, gosh, there was like so many things. I mean, so many different moments. I mean, just our moments on set, you know, just delirious in the middle of the night and, you know, playing Bejeweled, and just, I don't know, it was a really, exciting time. It was awesome. And I really, truly, like, I adore Shamar. I adore Rachel. I adore Dina, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ian, who we lost a couple years ago.
I was just, you know, just thinking about Ian.
Yeah.
I went to his funeral, you know.
Oh, did you?
Or his memorial.
His memorial, yeah. Oh, that's very sweet. What an Alfred,
no.
That guy.
Oh, such a gem. And, you know, he was a real, an incredible man. I mean, I learned a lot about him at the memorial, a lot more than I knew from spending time with him shooting birds. But we stayed in touch a little bit after birds, kind of when Facebook started. It was like, ooh, we talked. And I still have the messages that, you know, we've kind of sent back and forth. And
oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, he's a really good man. Really good man and a great actor. And I was, you know, really happy to go there and meet his family and be able to pay my respects and just kind of, you know, be able to tell them my stories with him. And
I'm sure they were very thankful to hear those too.
Oh, and vice
That's
versa.
Nice.
I mean, I think a tremendous amount about him, you know, from them.
Yeah.
And how courageous and brave he was, and he traveled here by himself to be an actor, which was unheard of back then. And
oh my God,
you know, moved to New York and, like, you know, just really explored this new horizon.
And like winds up in everything. I mean, he's in Seinfeld for God's sake. I mean, he's everywhere.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah, he was an incredible writer too. There was a couple of people that read letters from him from back in. I mean, I don't even know what year this would have been when he was moved to New York, but a long time ago.
Yeah,
his writing was just so beautiful.
Oh.
You know, it actually inspired me when I left. I thought, I need to start writing letters, you know, sending them in a mailbox so people can open them. And, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's really cool.
You have a tangible letter in your hand, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, him being the biggest connection in the show, really, to the Batman, you know, mythos and whatnot. Did you have any familiarity with all that before you came in to the show?
Not at all.
I did not.
And let me tell you something. I had to get with it real quick with the fans. I was like, oh, God. Thank gosh I wasn't, like, hip to social media at that point, because I'm sure I would have just, you know, who knows. It would have been dangerous what I would have answered at that point.
Bruce Wayne
probably
who?
Still now. Yeah, exactly. No, it wasn't that bad. But it was pretty close. I mean, you know, it was all new, uncharted territory for me.
Well, sure. I mean, honestly, Birds is what kind of got me into comics, because I remember watching the show going, like, wait, they had a kid? Wait, Batgirl got shot? What is going on?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So in that way, I guess, it was a gateway drug for a lot of people, you know?
Oh, yeah. Good. Well, good.
Yeah.
Much safer choice.
Yeah, amen.
Right.
Well, cool. It sounds like there's still a lot of love for the show in your heart. Do you ever, like, find yourself, flashing back to it or sitting down and watching it? And what does the show look like to you now? Is it family albums or something different?
It's, you know, I'm excited for my daughter to get a little bit older to be able to watch it.
I bet.
She's seen photographs, you know, and she's like, mm-hmm. "Oh, Mom was a superhero," you know. That's kind of cool to be able to share that with her. But yeah, no, I've watched them. I actually, my husband had never seen it before, and so we sat down and watched them together online, you know.
Sure.
Of course, I don't even own the DVDs. How sad is that?
You should get them. They're nice. They're good.
I should get them. But
I got you a Batarang. Yeah. I known you hadn't got the DVDs. That would have been.
I got the Batarang, and I have. You know, I had the girls find that Batarang, so I have it.
Yeah,
that's going to be on my wall.
That makes me happy. I'm glad.
Oh no, it's so cool. I love it. Thank you so much. That was such a thoughtful.
Oh, you're welcome.
So cool.
You're welcome.
No, but it really is just like a huge gift for me because it obviously means a lot. Do you know I think I might have told you I have the necklace.
You have the necklace. Oh, I know you have the necklace. That's
and,
awesome.
Well, my mother supposedly has the necklace in her safety deposit box, and okay. I wanted to wear it at the reunion because I couldn't wear the belt, obviously.
No, but I'm glad you have the belt, Chip. You've got something. That's good.
Yeah, no, it means the world to me. And like I said, it was a really special time in my life, and it's nice to, you know, have the stuff to look back at and reminisce, you know. And that was really thoughtful of you. We really appreciate it. And all the girls, we all signed each other, so we all have the same thing.
That's cool. All the entertainment. I mean, Birds of Prey was, you know, I was young enough that it was something that really spurred my creativity. Like the first thing I ever really wrote was a Birds of Prey kind of like spec script, what if, after it had been canceled, you know? And then a couple years later, I went to school for screenwriting, and I just finished a comic project. So like it started a lot of interests for me, and it ties back to that. So like being able to see the three of you together and sit and talk with you tonight has been a dream come true. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, well, you know how much we love you, Matt, really. And we're totally supportive of your journey, too. And that's so great. I'm glad that we could have spurred that interest and kind of woken that thing up in you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? When you're young and you're kind of just like fumbling around through life, being a kid mm-hmm. the way you're supposed to be. And then when that passion comes alive, when you go,
yep.
oh, I connect with that. I this turns me on. This I like. This
yep.
I'm going to be good at. You know, that's just like such an incredible time in a person's life. And it's great that you continue to fuel that
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And you know, it all ties back to the show in a strange way. So yeah, you're
great.
Absolutely right. It's really cool. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Before we go, are there projects coming up for you? Or what's
called, it's
up?
Called Birth, Matt. It's called
yeah,
birth.
Fair enough.
I actually got a phone call about a really cool offer today, but it would be really cool for a really cool show for their finale, kind of guest star thing, but out of them seeing something that I did on Unreal, and I couldn't take it because it's like on my due date. And I thought, that's probably not. I probably shouldn't bet. My odds are not good.
Scene isn't in a delivery room, so you're probably...
No. Oh, man,
yeah.
That's not. Maybe somebody should catch that on film. No. but my best work yet. Things come and go pretty quickly, and I'm right now just concentrating on my family and bringing this,
absolutely.
This little crazy alien that's living in my body right now into this world. And once that is, we've conquered that and we have a healthy baby in this world, then I will, once I get it sorted out, we don't know if it's
mm-hmm.
a boy or a girl yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's
no
exciting.
Idea.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's so exciting. I'm not, I'm not a huge planner anyway, and I don't,
mm-hmm.
I'm not that, like, type A personality that needs to know those things. And frankly, I wouldn't really paint a room pink or blue either, so it
right.
really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, the most cool surprise that we get, and so I'm waiting. I waited with Ada too. I felt like Ada was a girl, and she was, and this one I feel like it's a boy, but we'll see.
I was gonna ask. Okay, so we'll see if your track record holds up here.
That's right. The whole time I've been thinking that's a boy. I can totally feel boy energy, and then the other night I thought, well, it could be a girl. I mean, it really is. I mean, let's be honest. So we'll see.
Cool.
We pray for healthy, that's all. We just want healthy.
Absolutely. Good luck to you guys with everything. That's the best answer to that question you could have come up with. That's so cool.
It's true. It's all that matters, you know. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how your priorities change in life, and it's pretty cool to be, in a selfless time. Life looks a lot easier.
I haven't been in one of those yet, but I wish you well.
Because you're young, and you're exactly where you're meant to be. You're supposed to be kind of selfish and in your own space. And I mean, I think you're like early 20s or just reliving this miserable childhood that most of us didn't really have, but it's just kind of like, it's like this, you know, painful artist time, and then you, then you start to kind of grow up, and then you're really selfish, and then you find a mate, and then, you know, and then it becomes like completely not about you at all, and it's just so much easier.
You just made everything sound so clear. That was beautiful. That was...
It's pretty, you know, it's kind of, it's not so difficult, but, but those times are important. That's how we build who we are, and it's how we heal, and, you know, it's how we grow, and all you got to do is give yourself sun and lots of water, you know, feed your plant good stuff, and you'll be fine.
That was beautiful. Look at you tying it back to the analogy. That's great.
That was awesome. Yeah. Well, Ashley, I cannot thank you enough, especially, you know, like you said, 8.5 month pregnant, sitting down to talk about this TV show with me. I can't thank you enough. This has been awesome.
Well, it's been awesome for me too, and it thrills me. And, you know, I really appreciate you doing what you're doing, and I'm more excited about your future and what you're about to do. Just promise me if you write a screenplay and it becomes something, you write me a part.
Oh, please. Come on. Of course.
Deal?
Deal. You have it in audio contract. Congratulations.
Perfect. That sounds great. That would be wonderful. I'd love it.
Perfect.
Well, listen, honey, have a great night, and thank you so much for doing this with me. And
well, thank you so much.
Of course, have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye now.
Bye.
So there you have it, folks. The Huntress herself, unfiltered, on the record, just endlessly awesome to talk to. Try as I might, I can never thank Ashley enough for taking the time to talk with me for the show and being so open and candid about her answers and her time on the show. Since the interview, she has since had her second baby girl. So, you know, prediction was off there, but, you know, it was late. We were tired. These things, they happen. But thank you again for listening, folks. I know this is not a regular podcast, but it's hard to do for a show that lasts only 13 episodes 10 years ago. But as long as there is a guest, there will be an episode of Broken Wings, so just keep an eye out in the future. Thank you for listening. Thank you again to Ashley for an awesome interview. And until next time, remember, the Oracle is watching.